This is $12,169. Furniture and More is seeking a special use exception to place a tent for special events.
I believe Mr. Workman is going to grab Mr. Mears. Mr. Chairman, this one was not left open for the... This
right.
was just left for deliberation by the board. Determine decision.
Thank you. So, everybody's had a chance to consider and think on the hearing, what we consider or heard in the hearing. I'm opening for discussion. What are your thoughts?
Furniture and More?
Furniture and More.
They have an existing parking problem without this tent. And I believe, without knowing the problem firsthand, I believe the opposition more than presented a case that proves that the tent definitely creates a dangerous situation if they have to get a fire truck in, an ambulance in, and just standard routine coming, going from their development and entering 54.
But I had, are you, I'm sorry, are you finished? Yeah, okay. I go along with it too some, but you know, you got a parking lot there 70-30, and we heard testimony up to where, you know, each one of the businesses are good, and that there's two times of the year, you know, when traffic is heavy, as you stated.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I know that trap by that fence or by that dumpster or in that parking lot doesn't belong to those people in that development? Now, they got, say, 100 cars there at any time going and coming, but they stated they have grandkids come down, could have cars, or kids could have cars. Where does that traffic go? Do we know for a fact that all their visitors are on the other side of that gate? And ahead, where that one lady I'd asked a question about how traffic was getting in, she said it would be tight. They could get in and get out, but the next lady said, oh no, we can't, because there's cars by the dumpster. But it didn't prove to me, beyond a reasonable doubt, that those cars didn't belong to them. Who did they belong to?
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, that's just, I went home and, you know, I read it real well, and well, so it really...
Well, just to be clear, we don't use a beyond a reasonable doubt standard on this, Mr. Cowell.
Yeah.
So.
I think he probably...
I think for your speech.
I interpret that as a substantially adverse effect, but...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Anyway, there was, you know, so if you have, and you're talking four days out of 365, and naturally business, everybody in that time, you know, when all they can get, and the man has that other business, how do we know his cars don't go over there with? And the gentleman did offer to move the tent back, you know, 10 feet with that help. One lady, she wasn't really objected to it. The other lady said, no, but we can't, because everything was cars and traffic and traffic. Well, if the Delaware State Police wouldn't look at it and the local municipality wouldn't look at it, how do we do traffic? They need to take, they go to state and get a traffic impact study and see if they got that. And then the fire marshal, you know, we didn't have anything, no supporting documentation as to whether it be 10 feet, 40 feet, 20 feet, and we got fire service members here. I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of the fire service or the fire marshal. So there's a lot of doubt to me of whose cars are whose. Who do they belong to? Which of the three businesses? So I have a, you know, I mean, I don't think one man or one business should be held,
yeah,
you know, responsible for all this.
Right. And it's not furniture or more that's filling the parking lot up.
Right.
So that's a successful establishment on the other end.
Right. And as well as that, you know, the development where those people are at. And when they have these holidays, is all those cars. So,
you know, what I heard from all of that testimony was that they did have a traffic problem. Not so much a parking problem, but a traffic problem, and especially during those holidays. And so, you know, that's an adverse effect, and the traffic problem can be considered a substantially adverse effect.
Right.
But I didn't hear where the tent made it a substantially adverse problem.
Right.
You know, the traffic is what I heard.
Right, just traffic.
Not the tent, not the parking, if you will. I mean, parking, what I heard is it's always a problem with parking.
It is.
You know, and so, and you had stated that right there in the hearing that, you know, being a resident down there, you saw it firsthand.
Yep.
You know, so that's, to me, what I see as the adverse problem, the adverse effect, and even so much as substantial, but not, I didn't gather from any of that testimony that the tent
right.
would create a substantially adverse effect.
Yeah, for 4 days out of that.
I sort of did. I mean, they mentioned people pulling off of Route 54 and just pulling up to the tent
right.
and parking right at the tent and blocking their thoroughfare from their community to Route 54.
So yeah, when everybody's done, I got something to say.
But they said, when they did that, they parked there by the tent. You just said they didn't go down there to get a sandwich or go somewhere else or whatever.
Right.
I mean, if that's the first place you pull in, I would do it. First place I could find a park, I'd park.
Or again, who's to say the problem isn't created from the development?
But that's what I'm saying.
You've got three entities there.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
You do. That's what I look at it. There's three entities there. So how does one be held responsible?
Well, I think perhaps the calculus that you all should look at is, does the tent, the existence of the tent during the times that the applicant is seeking to do it, create a substantial adverse effect on neighboring and adjacent properties?
That's right.
And yes, it
does.
It does.
You know, we did have the testimony from the neighbors who have that development as to their experiences when those tents were up during those times. So I think that's really, I mean, I know there was a lot about what that was done at the business nearby, the parking related to that. But really the focus here should be what does that impact of that tent during those times have on neighboring properties. So I don't know if that helps you or
especially
not.
Especially on holiday weekends.
Right. I'm familiar with the area, and I think the tent does impact and it does substantially affect adversely the adjacent neighboring properties. Because of the closed gated community and their easement to get in and out of there.
But he even offered to move it 10 feet closer to his building, but that wasn't good enough.
That parking lot is very small.
No, sure, but I mean, at least he did make an offer.
Well, he did, but I mean, it's a 40 by 60 tent. I'm not convinced. He did not convince me that it will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent neighboring property. I believe it will.
And they didn't convince me the opposite way. So.
Well, the burden is not on the opposition. The burden is on the applicant to prove that it is not.
Mr. Workman?
I think you do.
So if you felt that way.
Yeah, I mean, for the far end of it and safety, we don't even look at that.
Right.
I mean, you can have an alarm or something out there after everything, the tent shut down, everything else, still probably won't get lit. Through the way I understand how busy that place is.
Because of the traffic.
So that end up we don't even look at. I mean, you can have that at 2:00 in the morning. So that end up we don't even have to look at. You know, but they really didn't prove to me that the tent is causing all the problems. I mean, they both said it's the place is packed with everything else there, went on, and the right of way, but I guess for the right of way, do you go back to the people who own the parking lot?
Right.
I mean,
sure.
So there's supposed to be a right of way around there, way I understand it, I guess.
Right.
And they didn't prove it. Whose cars were there at that time?
Right.
So.
And I recall the applicant saying, stating that it was his feeling or opinion, it was the stake place. That sub shop that created more of the problem, and I didn't, and I also heard applicants agree.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm like Mr. Workman. I don't hear where the tent is the problem, but it's the traffic, the other things that.
But then he say, the first one he had problems with. He had some complaints. The second one he didn't have any complaints about it.
Right.
Second.
That were here opposing it said yes, they had been in there and complained about it. And it is on he wants to put them on the busiest weekends of the year.
Yeah.
So that's going to compound the problem. So that is going to substantially adverse affect the neighboring properties.
Is it sound like to me both places causing the problem? I guess. Really, I mean, you can't say how many people are going to the
State Place.
State Place or going to the I don't know. I'm hung up right there too on that. I mean,
well, one other thing that we've done in the past is approved it for a short period, not 5 years, and to see what kind of report we get back the following year.
Well, he wanted it for 14 days.
Well, yeah, but
that was twice, so two.
But he was asking for 5 years.
I believe they were asking for 5 years.
5 years. Yeah.
For it to use it twice a year
twice
for a total
for 5 years,
of
yes.
Those days.
And he was asking for the time because it takes 2 days to set up.
2 days.
And 2 days take down, plus the 4 days.
Or 3 days that would give him to sell.
Well, yeah. He didn't.
And we can stipulate
I'm not
when.
Convinced. I think it will. I think it will substantially affect the adjacent properties.
Then it's going to, I don't know, you know, how we measure the effect, you know, if we were to allow it for another year or 6 months even to get through Labor Day to see. Then how do we quantify if it's a problem or not? Because that would require someone from the county, which you don't have the manpower to do that.
Well, let me ask this. Could we request the site plan that shows the easement for the development,
that's
closed gated community in the back?
Exactly.
So we know, is that tent, if that tent encroaches on their easement to get in and out of their property, then I'm sorry, it's not going to work.
Okay.
That's a good point.
I go along with that. Yeah.
That's a very good point.
The record is closed on this. There isn't, you know, additional submissions that could be put into that, so we don't have that information before you.
But we could reopen the hearing for that purpose.
We could reopen it, and we would have to reschedule a hearing for that to allow for that to come in. Now, I caution you in this regard, we had a fairly lengthy hearing on it this past time, and I would imagine that we probably would have a similar one by reopening it, because we would be allowing for testimony and what have you.
Well, I think we need to do the right thing, and if that's got to happen, I think that's what we should do.
But sure, I probably won't need much testimony on that. I mean, we're just going to try to find out where the easement's at.
Right.
I mean, somebody can't, I mean, it's going to have to be the owner, and that's it, really.
We won't need
right, to. But we're going to have to re-advertise it, because you have to reopen it, which means you're going to be holding another public hearing. You can't just reopen it for a specific thing.
We can table it for that reason, but we
can't. You cannot reopen it. If you're going to reopen it, it is a new public hearing.
I agree.
And to
maybe
obtain this information, we have to reopen it, or can we ask for just that information?
No. Because the public hearing is closed.
Yeah. All
right. The record's closed.
So, I make a motion that we, go ahead.
Unless you're ready to vote on it tonight, maybe then we should have another hearing.
I think we should. That's what I was getting ready to do.
The other thought, and I know there was a lot of testimony at the last hearing. I'm sure you all have looked at the record, but you know, you could go back and look at it again and see if you pull some different insight from it with fresh eyes after a discussion. I know sometimes we've done that in the past where, you know, you all have deliberated, and that leads you to go, let me check the record again, make sure I remember it correctly, or maybe learn something new from looking at it with fresh eyes. So that could be an option. We could table it for the next meeting and have it brought up then, and then if you needed additional hearing, you could do that too.
I would say the easement is coming right off that development. I mean, common sense would prevail that coming off of the development there where the dark pavement is,
mm-hmm.
and there's a white line that comes across,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the yellow line in between, and there's two tones of color for the pavements.
Right.
So I would say that easement probably is right there coming out of their development and right up to the intersection, and not anything near that building. Now, he's, from what I remember and recall, that tent has been over there towards their easement.
And if it's 50 feet,
they're on the easement.
Yeah. So we could, you know, stipulate that the tent go against the building.
Mm-hmm. which he'd offer.
I could vote for that.
But he's still not going to have enough parking.
Well.
Well.
They can't park in that easement.
No, but he's going to be close to the building, not near the easement. Isn't that what you said?
Well, you know, all we heard was that his parking was set, he had to pay for 70% of the parking.
Right.
For that property. But I don't know that he's required by the county to have 70% of the parking. Do you know how many?
The parking would be
parking for
based
store,
on, it would be, it'd be based on square footage, as would the other, I'm going to guess, as the, it was originally designed, the entire thing was based on the square footage of the building.
Okay. But they had just repainted the parking lot and done away with parking spaces.
And if they did that without approval, we will send an inspector out and address that situation.
We'll move 7 right where the tent goes.
We will verify that they are in compliance with their approved site plan.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, let me ask you a question. So you're familiar with that place. Did they come in that? Did they go all the way around that building and come back in again? Is that how they get in and out around that building? You know,
I don't follow the question.
When you go in, do you go around the building and come back out, or you park behind the?
Typically, you try and park out front, and when there's no spots, you go around the back and then end up right back where the tent was.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
In the off season, you can't find a parking place when they have specials.
Specials.
So you throw the tent in it.
You got more, yeah.
I saw it on Memorial Day weekend and wondered if they had a permit, which they didn't. And I thought it was a mess. And I hadn't heard the people in the condo's testimony.
So the tent is in the back of that building.
But that's me interjecting my opinion based on seeing it. Yeah.
Now the tent is on the right side of the where the yellow line is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that we didn't hear testimony that was in the easement, and I would assume the easement logically would come right out of there and stay to the right. You see how that property line comes down, breaks to the right, and then goes down again.
I think the question there, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm just looking at my notes. The opposition was concerned because they're taking away parking spaces
sure.
from a place that didn't have enough spaces for the uses to begin with, and that led to people parking in there right away. So even if the tent was not in the right away, I think there was a concern from them that by the tent being on parking spaces, it led the natural human instinct of I've got to park my car somewhere, and that led to the blockages that they were experiencing were the traffic flow issues that they had.
And I think that the applicant suggested that on the weekends there was a lot of guests and visitors, which didn't provide enough parking for the guest of the condos.
But that wasn't a fact. That was type of summation or hearsay.
Then therefore you could assume the
both ways. Both ways. That is the case.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because if you go from 50 cars to 100 cars, where they go?
There was no proof, as in video or anything that showed people parking going in either direction.
Of when they drop the kids off, grandkids, and go back and park your car there, they're filled up in there. Because most of those places, what, for 2 cars to park?
Mm-hmm.
If you go park 3 car places.
Ones. You can see them right there.
Yeah, but I mean.
What do you think, folks? Do you want to table it and think about it some more? What do you want to do?
I like to table it myself, or I'll make a motion to table it to our next regular meeting.
I'd like to see where that easement is.
You won't do that without reopening a hearing.
I'm about to reopen, yeah.
Name your poison.
Ms. McGish, I think they might as well get that tent in there with that easement. I don't know how wide that easement is. What is it, 50?
It all depends. Sometimes a typical easement is typically 50. However, in this case, it could be actually less than that, just to provide a two-way drive aisle, which could be down to, at a minimum, 20 feet or maybe even 22 feet.
Right.
So.
That's pretty.
Yeah, 10 feet each way.
Yeah, that's pretty.
11.
That's too small.
Well, it's all too small. They're putting 10 pounds of taters in a 5-pound bag.
5-pound bag.
We do have a motion on the table, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So, is there a second to that motion?
Which one?
What was the
motion? Mr. Calloway moved to table it. I don't know if there's I know sometimes there's discussion, but.
If there's no second.
If we table it, we don't have anything new to discuss, do we?
No.
That's correct. That's correct.
I mean, I'd rather.
Well, is there a second? Okay.
I withdraw my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Or the motion, okay. Is there another motion?
I make a motion that we re-advertise and reopen the case and to find out the right-of-way for the subdivision in the back.
Okay, now, question, legal question. Can we have a
that?
Hearing just for that purpose?
I don't believe you can. I think once you reopen it, you know, it's one thing if we leave it open for a limited purpose, it's another when we reopen it. And I guess the question that I would pose to the board here, as well as Ms. McGee being the movement, is would that, you know, that piece of information that you're seeking, how critical is that to your determination as to, well, would it substantially adversely affect? And I say that because we do have a copy of a survey that was presented by the applicant. That's part of your packet. And we did have some photographs that were submitted by the opposition. So we do have some things in the record there, as well as you can have the aerial photo from the county here, as well as tax maps. So,
well, this survey does not show even the development in the back. So I still stand that we need to reopen, re-advertise and reopen the application.
Well, I got a question for Mr. Sharp.
So, Mr. Sharp, if we do that, did you get a subpoena of the landowner? He's the one that's going to tell you.
Well, the landowner, I mean, we would want them here for that hearing.
Yeah,
we're
so
reopening
if
it.
If they don't come.
They're going to be notified of it.
So if they don't come, we've not done anything again then.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Right.
If they don't come.
Well, we can request the applicant show. It's the burden's on the applicant. So we can request the applicant to show the easement and the easement on the property. For that,
yeah. So we've got to happen. We don't,
right?
We
yeah. I mean, it's going to be re-advertised as a hearing. So we're going to be noticing it, advertising, and publishing it, and they're going to get notice of that.
Yep.
So
did they get notice before?
Well, they had some, they did, because they were the ones who applied, and then they were
made the application.
Yeah, they made the application. So
they didn't apply. The Furniture and More applied.
Which was
the owner is Balsamo and Norino Properties LLC out of Baltimore.
Oh, I see. You would like the owner, not the applicant.
Okay. Mm. I think the applicant can
both of them,
should be able
but
to.
I think the owner of the property
the
should also be here.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just an opinion, but I don't necessarily agree. I think that the burden's on the applicant.
Yeah.
You know. To provide that, and if they don't provide that information we're looking for,
well, you would think the owner would be the applicant, or you know, want them. That applicant needs the owner's approval to apply.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you another question. We're going to go through the same thing again when we open that. Why they're against it and mm-hmm. everything else.
A whole new case.
Which we don't want really heard.
Right.
Well, maybe
they're
both.
We're
maybe,
asking about
maybe
the easement.
Maybe they both come better prepared.
How about that?
Yeah. We're sort of split and gridlocked here. So
yeah.
I mean, the other thought is you could go back and look at what you've got and see if that answers some of your questions.
That's what I was going to table. Then we make a decision. After that,
I don't know.
You want to go ahead and then re-advertise and all that. What information we got? Well, I've heard what you've had to say, and all of us look what we've already got. What we discussed tonight, and then decide in
right.
2 weeks.
Right, we could still do.
Then we could still do what Ms. McGee's asking to do, but at least what
well,
we've all talked about
you're
tonight.
Putting them off another 2 weeks, you're not getting it ever.
We're going to put
them
off regardless.
I know that
past Labor Day anyway.
I know that, but yeah. That 2 weeks, you could have had it been resubmitted and advertised.
We could at least start the process. This public hearing will not be for at least a month, if not 2 months, because we are scheduling several months out at this point.
So it would be better to do what we got than maybe table it and look at it and then decide then.
But it still doesn't tell us the information that we want.
touching it.
Or we would know that.
I mean, if we're going to do that, I can vote right now.
Me too.
Ready to vote right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm ready to vote right now.
I can vote right now.
I'll entertain a motion.
No, there's actually a motion on the table.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Is there yet another motion?
I make a motion that we deny the request for a special use exemption. I'm not convinced that it will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring property.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. By roll call vote, Mr. Callaway.
Nay.
Ms. McGee.
Aye.
Mr. Mears.
Nay.
Mr. Workman.
Nay.
And I vote aye. So by a vote of 3-2, the motion carries.
When?
No, they voted 4-1.
Yeah. Nay is against it.
Against it. Against it.
Yeah.
Against the motion. I made the motion to deny it.
Right. And I.
And you're not going, you want to approve it.
No.
That's
what I thought. I voted with you.
What you said, Mr. Mears, was nay.
Nay.
You should have said aye. Okay.
So the vote was 4-1.
Okay, we'll do another roll call vote. So everybody understands. By roll call vote, everybody understand now what we're voting on.
I think I got it.
We're voting to deny it.
Right.
And that would be a yes vote to deny it.
Yes.
That was my motion.
Yay, you want to divide and deny it. Nay, you want it approved.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
It's confusing. Mr. Callaway.
I vote yes to deny it. Okay. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, then nay. I want to deny it.
You want to deny it?
Yeah, I want to deny it. I'm getting confused now. I said that earlier.
So it's Mr. Callaway is voting aye.
So we're turning it down.
You said aye.
Yeah.
Yes is to turn it down.
Correct.
No, it used to be nay to turn something down.
No, that is not the way I made the motion.
It's a negative motion.
All right, wait a minute. Hold on.
Wow.
The motion is to deny. A yay vote is for that motion to deny it. A nay vote is not.
No,
it won't get approved. It won't get approved.
Right.
A nay vote is to not deny it.
My vote is to deny. Okay. How about we get?
Yeah, let's
do it that way.
Let's do it that way.
All right, I'll second that motion.
Do you want to rescind the motion and make the motion a positive motion to approve the special use exception?
I think since we already have a motion out there that started the voting process.
Do we understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay. A vote of yay is for it or is against it. A vote of yay is against it, and a vote of nay is otherwise.
So when I made the motion, let me clarify something.
That's what gets confusing.
When I made the motion, I made a motion to deny their application. So approve my motion is yes.
Yay.
And what Dale said is nay. He's right. He's against it.
I'm against it. I was
right. Okay. Yeah. You want to approve it.
I want to deny it.
Then you vote yes.
Yes. And 10 times I'd say, okay, yes. I'm voting against it. It's wrong.
Okay.
Then your vote is nay.
No. He's voting against the special use. He wants to vote to deny.
If I may.
Can we just say all those in favor say aye?
The motion is to deny it.
Yeah, that's what I'm in favor of.
You vote to deny it?
Yeah, I vote to deny it.
Okay. I vote to deny the application.
How do you vote? to deny it or otherwise?
Man, I got me messed up here.
If you're in favor of the application, then you're not voting. You don't vote to deny it.
I'm in favor of the application.
Then, okay.
Can I change mine? Please?
Yeah.
I'm in favor of the application.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in favor of the application.
That's what I thought.
I'm not in favor of motion, but I'm in favor of the application.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
So.
Now we're right.
Mr. Mears.
Your turn, Mr. Mears.
I vote yes to agree with Ms. McGee's motion to deny.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And I vote nay.
So what we have is Ms. McGee's motion is fails.
Fails.
By a vote of 2-3.
That's 3-2.
Okay. So we have...
2-3.
So we have no motion on the table at the present, but a motion to deny has failed.
Yes.
Correct. Sure.
Motion to approve.
So, is there another motion?
I make a motion that we approve case number 12,169.
Is there a time frame and a location of the tent?
One for time period of 1 year. So that way there's any...
And the location of the tent would be where?
Next to the building.
Okay.
And it's two times a year?
Two times a year. We've done that before, to see.
More specifically, for Labor Day and Memorial Day weekends, and 2 days to set up prior to Friday, and 2 days to tear down after Monday. So
is that total, in addition to your motion?
So a total of 16 days.
Yeah. Yep, that's in addition to the motion that I made.
So we're going to do it this year, and then...
We'll be back here next
August. We'll be back here next year to see how it made out, what problems or whatever.
One question to ask.
Yep.
Can we do it for one time, this time only, and to see how they make out? For this one time coming up?
Labor Day weekend.
Yep, Labor Day weekend. And so it won't...
I think that's reasonable.
One time. You could do that. However, the written decision would probably not be approved till after Labor Day. We only have one meeting between now and then.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, we wouldn't have those findings ready for the next meeting when they...
Because we couldn't do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Second.
But, I mean...
Okay.
Okay.
Is there a second? He serves a second. So, by roll call vote, Mr. Calloway...
I am in favor. Don't say no. I'll make sure I get it right,
Mr. Mr. Workman.
Aye.
Mr. Mears.
Nay.
That's right.
Ms. McGee.
No.
And I. So by a motion of 3-2, it's carried for 1 year.
Okay.
With those stipulations.
Okay. I think they... Never mind.
Case closed. Hearing closed. Next.